So, the kids are, you'll see that you're fighting against them, they're on the oven. And this, you can see on their face, all the Shulchan, you can see that there's a light in Chayachal, Lirais, that's Or HaNasach Aleim. You can see a light which is poured out all over them. A person who is truly humble, with a light over his face. And in Hin Chayachal, Estaka, Otech, Levavis, if you can look inside people's hearts, you can see that their heart is broken towards their Banishtal. So in other words, how can I be arrogant towards you, human being? And I'm really, we get so furious that we do. Get upset if people do it wrong us, do an injustice towards us. But the person who truly loves Hashem, means you realize how great Hashem is, that person realizes that we owe so much to God, and Hashem doesn't get angry at us. So we have to be forgiving and humble with the people who have wronged us. Because my heart is broken to Hashem, so how can I suddenly turn around and be so, chutzpah, you're in the wrong, and I'm so right. And I know that usually I'm in the wrong myself so much. So the Oyev Hashem has Libo Nishbar. And how do you become broken to the Ribbono Shel Olam? It sounds nice, but how do you do that? The only way to do that is because the heart of this person is Molei Divrei Elokim Chayim. The heart of the person who loves Hashem is filled with words of the living God, the words of Torah, words of Tefillah. And when you're so filled with God, you realize how little insignificant we are. The only people who are arrogant with the Ribbono Shel Olam are people who don't know the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the more we know about God, the more we learn Torah. That's without Torah, you can't really be humble. Without Torah, it's not just that I love Hashem. The only love Hashem is through Divrei Torah, because we have no glimpse, we have no idea, we have no concept of who Hashem is, unless we have Divrei Torah. And our heart is reik mikoliske olam, and our hearts are empty from all concerns of olam hazeh, because if our hearts are consumed with all, we are so busy with thinking about our trip to Toys R Us, and we have so many things that our parents owe us on Chanukah, all the toys they owe us, all the Chanukah geld they owe us, and Hashem owes me this and owes me that, and I'm so busy buying my new, leasing, I don't know buy his cars, I mean, at least a new car, maybe a van, but I'm so busy leasing my cars and my vans and other stuff, that no time to think about Hashem. But if my head is full of Divrei Elokim Chayim, then I am so overwhelmed by my insignificance that I will not be upset with other people. So we said last week that people like this, people who's really concentrated on Hashem, it is in their schus that the world exists. Shouldn't take such people lightly. Because these people in their schus, there are fewer wars in the world, and there are fewer tsaras in the world, and in their schus the rains come down in the world, and in their schus there's still some grain. The grain grows and the rain comes down. The rains and the grains all come from the people. Because these are the only people Hashem really cares about. Hashem said, I made these 6 billion other people just for the sake of these few people who love me. I need 6 billion people on the earth. It's a crowded world. What does Hashem need 6 billion people? And every day is growing by another million or so. Hashem needs all these people. Who needs them for? What's what we need? We've got no shots at the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Hashem said, I needed them because I need a billion people in China. There's not one shul in China, maybe in Hong Kong, that's about it. But Hong Kong, for sure, the shul. Besides the whole Chinese mainland, Hong Kong's an island, the whole Chinese mainland, with billions of people, and you have all Indian subcontinent. I don't know if there's any shuls left in India even. There used to be some in Bombay and some place. So you have like 2 billion people there. So you have the Asia, the sub-Asia. So you have 2 billion people and more growing every minute. Then you have Burma and Vietnam. I don't think there are any shuls in Vietnam, Burma, and Thailand. There's a shul in Bangkok. Yeah, there's a Lubavitcher, there's a Chabad house, and that's about it. So like in the whole Asian mainland and sub-Asian with about 2.5 billion people, maybe almost a half of the world population, the Hashem doesn't have too much nachas over there. He says, look, there's a shul in Hong Kong, and there's a psakoil in Hong Kong, and if someone's doing a little Torah in Bangkok, and not only that, they can export a couple of dreidels for Hanukkah, some nice Yiddish kindlach, they're going to grow up to be nice, good Jewish children in Muncie, and in Cleveland, Ohio, and in Los Angeles. So in the schuz of the fact that there's a billion Chinese and there's a printing place where they print out made in Taiwan and made in China little Chanukah dreidels. So that's schuz, I keep them around. Because the reason Hashem wants the world is for the few people who love Him and serve Him, the emes with sincerity and genuine. And in their schuz, Hashem sends all the good things down to the rest of the world. So you have to appreciate such people. And these people, the dafka, the ones, you go over them saying, no, I'd like to give you a present because I appreciate so much what you do for the world. And they'll say, oh, I, you know, your present, you owe me nothing. And I won't take you for anything. I don't want to take from people. I only take from God. If I take from people, then Hashem says, oh, you took from people, so you don't need from me. So these tzaddikim would rather, why should I get a present from human beings? I don't want to get gifts from human beings. Because if I take a human being, Hashem says, oh, you don't need me, but I'd love to have miracles. I'd rather get the oil of Hanukkah coming through a nace than getting it in the natural way. So we're going to do everything right. You know, as we all know, the Chashmonaim could have been samech on a heter, that tumas hutra b'tzibur, and they could have overridden the prohibition of unclean oil, and said, well, there's a heter, b'tzibur, they could have been samech on a heter. But they didn't want to. They said, we love the Rebbeinu, Hashem gave us such a miracle with the battles. We want to show our unadulterated thanks to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We're not going to change an iota. We want to have perfect oil. It's only enough for one day. And it can take 8 days till he gets the new oil. Not my problem. I want to show my love to Hashem. I don't want to be selling any coolers. No coolers. No too much of a receiver. I want to do it. We want to do it right. We're going to do it the perfect way. And it's so tempting to always make the coolers and to just cut the corners a little bit. The problem is, you start cutting the corners even the slightest amount, then it just doesn't work. You can't cut corners. When you start cutting the corners, you start cutting the middle also. When you start at the corners, it never ends up at the corners. It always cuts into the essence. You know, at the point, I was a big rush, and my hands are very chapped from the cold. I'm only telling you this simple just to show you how to be careful. So, you know, you have to wash your hands before davening, and you should always wash before davening. You should wash with a kli. Best thing is to wash with a kli from the sink, and at least the revias, that's the right way. You should wash before you daven. Every tefillah. So, I was someplace else right before I could daven. I washed my hands right before I left where I was. And I don't like to get too much cold water on my fingers in the winter. They crack my fingers, especially today. I know my fingers start cracking, and it bleeds, and it's very painful. And so I say, no, I'm going to have a zinnin that where I wash my hands in another place before I come here, where I had to wash my hands, I will wash my hands. Have a zinnin, I'll wash my hands. Otherwise, you watch your hands. I'll wash my hands, and I will not wash again when it comes to shul over here, because I'll send myself every time I wash the cold water, it's not good for my fingers. I came to shul, I said, I can't do that. I always wash before davening in the shul where I daven. And I'll be halacha, of course, I'll be halacha, get away with it. What I did over there was good. I had my gloves on, I protected my hands, I made sure I didn't touch anything, I wasn't Messias Das. It was only like 1 minute from the place I was and the place I'm over here. I had 15 at Tehrim, but I said, I can't cut a corner. If I'm going to change my, this is how I do it, I always wash in the sink right before I put on my film. I have to do it over here. I cannot cut corners. If I start cutting corners, it's no good. Then you start whittling away. You gotta just not cut any corners. No question, it was a mutter, it was fine, it was good, that don't cut corners. So the person who is Ayav Hashem, he says, is the person who doesn't cut corners in Avodas Hashem. His whole day is just thinking how he can serve Hashem B'Shleimus. And again, I'm telling you the story just to give you how even a trivial thing, I'm not trying to tell you, show off what a great tzaddik I am. You realize that. Just trying to show you how you have to get, it's a kleinekeit, it's such a kleinekeit. But once you change something, you just never know where you're going to go. Never know. So the kids are. So he says the person who loves their Rebbeinu Shlom, they say there's Taryak mitzvahs and there's so many mitzvahs that are abundant, and there's such a big Shulchan Aruch. But the person who loves their Rebbeinu Shlom says, you know, just like a person loves his wife, he just can't think. He wants to think of new ways what he can do for his wife. I bought flowers for Shabbos. That's not gonna. She's such a good wife. She made such a good Shabbos. She takes care of the children and the grandchildren. And she takes care of the house. It's just Asia's child. And she davens for me. And she gives me good musr all the time. I want to think of something new for my wife. I got to buy some jewelry up for Chanukah. I got to buy something new. What can I get her that makes her happy? I wish I could find something extra to give my wife pleasure. What could I do to give my wife pleasure? I have to find something new. I have to ask somebody. Maybe they know what kind of jewelry she'd like. Something she'd like. What could I possibly buy for her? So to the person who loves their Rebbeinu Shalom, that every mitzvah that they do is very small in their eyes, what they owe their Rebbeinu Shalom. They cannot do enough of their Rebbeinu Shalom. And the 613 mitzvahs aren't enough, and all their abundance aren't enough. So they're thinking of mitzvahs that they can do all the time. They're thinking, what can I do constantly? The best thing would be to find a mitzvah that is day and night and night and day, And that would be the perfect mitzvah. So this is what they're looking for. There's probably some chairs in that room over there in the side room. Or that, for the side room, there should be some in there. What? Okay, we're not going to change now. So, but the chair is right here. Okay, I think. So, he says that Eitzah is that a person should find the mitzvah he can do all the time. And the mitzvah he can do all the time is learning Torah. You can learn Torah. So you should know, he said, learn Mishnayos Baal Peh, learn Pesukim with the Torah Baal Peh. He says, best thing is to have Torah all the time. Wherever you go, you're in the car. You don't necessarily have a you don't have to listen to tapes. Tapes is great too. But just even think about what you learned before. Or say some tilim baal peh. Say something in your mind. But you have the mitzvah of Torah is the best way to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we're makir, that he sends us the breath of life, and he keeps our whole systems running all the time. So therefore my brain is running all the time thinking about the Ratzon Hashem, about Limud HaTorah. However, he says, people who love the Rabbanu Shlom, even learning Torah all the time is not good enough for them. Even that's not enough for them. Because they say, I am a servant of the Rabbanu Shlom. I owe my life to the Rabbanu Shlom. I have to mekabel something new. What else can I do for their punishment? I need something new. I have to do something. And they say, you know, that the Nevi'im Epis, they were mekabel themselves higher madrigas. I'm looking for something even bigger than learning. Because you can learn, he says, and it's only in Asafa Lechutz. It's only on the outside. And I'm looking for something, Achachma Tzfuna Genuza Belibis Rachamim Hatzfuna Benyusam. I'm looking for Achachma. I'm not just want to learn just to say the Mishnah Baal Peh. I want to find something where the Chacham will go in deep into my heart, and it'll go deep into my pnimius, and something which it'll change my entire being. So I'm looking, he's always looking, he says, that's why, he says, the best thing is that is why, the only way, he says, that the Oyev Hashem come to the Madrega they're searching for is that they uproot from their heart any desire for Olam Hazeh. So it's not even enough by them to work on learning Torah all the time. That's not enough. Saying Tilm all the time is not going to do it. Learning Mishnah is going to do it. Because your heart, there's no room for the Torah as long as you're still interested, and we're very interested in Olam Hazeh. And its pleasures, and its comfort, and our creature comforts. Our creature comfort doesn't mean you have to have the most beautiful car in your house. It's just push the zachem. So we're just worried again about to make sure that the food we eat is just perfectly well done, and the steak is exactly right, and it has to be a steak, mind you, and that everything has to be right, that we have to have just the right amount of sugar in our tea and coffee, and everything, the bread has to be buttered, make sure that the butter goes every inch of the piece, the top of the roll. You have to make sure that not stam a little bit, the butter won't do it. You have to make sure that it's nice and well smeared, nicely and well covered, and make sure that the peanut butter is on one level, then put another level of jelly on, make sure it's just right, and the sufganiyot, if the sufganiyot didn't have enough jelly in it, there wasn't yet to the midst of Hanukkah sufganiyot, and if I'm not talking that you're obsessed with big Olam Hazeh, major, you wanna live in Trump Tower and live in the penthouse. Just push the zach, if Olam Hazeh plays such a big role, that we're always looking and making sure everything is just right, everything has to be perfect with our Olam Hazeh, and everything is pitch putch. This, he says, this will take away from our obsession that you have to think day and night, what can I do to make Hashem happy? The Oyev Hashem has only one thought in his mind, not what makes me happy, what's going to make my life perfect, make my fingers uncracked, and make sure that my beard is shaved properly, and make sure I have the proper deodorants, and make sure that I have the proper air conditioners, and his mind, we're so busy, we're so, if we can think about our own things, again, not doing big money, but I have to have the perfect toothbrush. This toothbrush is a little too hard. I have to change it for a better toothbrush. I can't come to the shiur today. I got to take a trip to CVS because, first of all, the mint flavor of toothpaste is not good. This is too minty. You have to find a new brand. There's too much mint in the mint. And the toothbrush is episode. It's only 40. I like 60. And that's too hard. It's too soft. But I really, you know, I'm not talking about major things that you want to get a Learjet. Just if the cup is just orangutan, so important that everything should be just right, and everything should be just perfectly just right, like it has to be, and I'm so busy the whole day, making sure everything is just right in the house, and the dust is dusted off, and make sure that every ruffle cover is unruffled, and everything is just right. So where's the time in the cup to think about the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The Oyev Hashem has one thought in mind. Oh, yeah, yeah. The kind of Shamash and Asad to beat the Oyev. Ah, Rebbeinu Shlomo gave me a Halig in the Shama this morning. I was asleep. I was dead. I was half dead, three quarters dead. I was only 1/60th alive. My neshama, how can I make sure that little in men, you can take the neshama back from me? What can I do to make sure that I don't mess up my neshama today? I shouldn't get dents. So that every day you go to your car, you're always looking at the dents in the car, making sure I have to return this dented car. I have to make sure the car is not too dented. I'm always thinking maybe a new car wash. I have to look at the, you know, I haven't had a car wash in a long time, as a matter of fact. It's long overdue. Now I'm looking at my car, but it takes time to get a car wash. I have to go down to Easy Z Line. It takes half an hour. You have to wait in line over there. It's not the money, it's not the time. But after all, the car is very important. So I know I'll do it on Friday. But if I do it on Friday, then the mice, I won't be visiting my Mavisedra before Shabbos. And I won't get a chance to look at Sikkel Rambam before Shabbos. But the car is very important. I know car is very important. But the mice is more important that I should say Shir Shim before Shabbos. And it's more important I say my Tilm before Shabbos. And it's more important that I should finish the Mavisedra before Shabbos. It's more important I should learn my Daf Yom before Shabbos. And more important I should learn my Kviyas before Shabbos. And more important I should just get the neighbors ready before Shabbos. And I should go to the mikveh before Shabbos. I have to run out of the mikveh. I have so much to do with Shabbos. So I've had to give this. My car wash is very important. Long overdue. It's about a year now since a Pesach. But who has time for these things? It's very nice, a car wash. But who has time for the car wash? I'm too busy. I can't spend the half an hour. And some of it's a three quarters. So the Oyev Hashem is only thinking about one thing all day. What can I do to increase my service? It's not enough to say, well, I have to finish my Arvah Sedra before Shabbos because it's my kviyas. I have to be my Arvah Sedra. And I have to say Shir Shiyam. No. I have to say Shir Shiyam. I say Shir Shiyam. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is looking forward to my Shir Shiyam. How can I miss my Shir Shiyam before Shabbos? How can I? The Rebbeinu Shlomo enjoys my Shir Shiyam so much before Shabbos when I say Yishakeni Meshikas Piyuk. He told me the Dechem Yayin. So how can I go into Shabbos without my Shir Shiyam? The Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to miss me. I wouldn't forget calling my big client. If I know he's waiting for my call, and I made up my call at 10:00, I wouldn't make him wait for me. And if I was sitting there every Shabbos saying, "Where's my, oh, Yankel Shir Shimon Zozoyzis?" He said it once about 27 years ago. I enjoy it very much. It's a long memory. He said it once in your life. And the bunch is still sitting every Shabbos. 27 years ago, Yankel Chapta Mishagaz, he heard a Shir from somebody to say Shir Shimon once in his life is a Shir Shimon. The bunch don't say, "Ah, you know, Zozoyzis, I'm waiting for 27 years again." So, I want to make Hashem happy. Hashem makes me happy all week. He takes care of me all week. Hashem is waiting for my little Shir Shim for Shabbos. Hashem is waiting until I should take my Neshama Yaseira, Mami. So I should go to the mikveh for Shabbos to make myself a Neshama Yaseira. I should clean myself before Shabbos. He's waiting for me in the mikveh all the time. I buy it to Rebbeinu Shlomo. So, it's my kriyas to go to the mikveh. It's my Shir Shim. It's my Mavir Sedra. My Tilim. And my Tzedakah of Shabbos. And my Avodah of Shabbos. And I have to get dressed for Shabbos. And I have to make the neighbors to set the candles for my wife. It's not that I'm doing it for my wife. I'm doing it for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. I'm about to have to set the candles for your wife too. That they're doing it for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. I want to bring in covered Shabbos. Neighbors is covered Shabbos. And the husband's mishtatif by setting up the candles for his wife before Shabbos. And I have to do it to Simcha. And I say the covered Shabbos Kodesh to make the Rebbeinu Shlomo happy. The Oyev Hashem is thinking day and night. It's so hard. We can do everything. We ran the davening today. We put on tefillin today. We ready daven. They're ready up, ready for an hour now. 2 hours already we're up. Have we thought about the Rebbeinu Shlomo? Have we really thought about the Rebbeinu Shlomo? Do we daven Pesukim Zimra because I want to give Shevach Vaitah, Lebayri is Barach, thank you Rebbeinu Shlomo? Did I say Moidani with the Gevaltike Emes and Moidani Hashem? I really thank you so much. I'm alive. Oh yeah, Mamash, I could have died in my sleep on the Shami you took away from me at night. I could have dropped dead. I could have not woken up this morning. Oh, hey, look at my Sheva. Thank you so much. I want to give you a little nachas by davening. Give me a pesukah. The Zimmer give you a hallel. Hallel on Chanukah. This is the Oyev Hashem is so obsessed with making Hashem happy and giving thanks to Hashem. He has no time for thinking about his own creature comforts. This is the Oyev Hashem. So these people are called Oyev Hashem, Oyev Shemoy, and these people, these Bali Madrega, are the closest thing in this world to a Navi. So if you want to know if they can be the Vuh of Bismanazet, it would seem the Nevuah stopped. Taka Chanukah represents, really speaks about the end of Nevuah. Because Nevuah stopped in the 40th year of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the 40th year of the second Beis HaMikdash coincides with Alexander the Great, Alexander the Greek, his conquest of Eretz Yisrael, which started in the year 36 of 34 of the second Beis HaMikdash, but was concluded in the year 40. It was a 6-year period. So over 6 years, Alexander conquered Eretz Yisrael. In the 40th year of the second base of Mikdash, his conquest is complete. The minute Alexander and Yavon comes in, it's the end of the Vuah. The Vuah ends. The Vuah ends with Yavon. We don't realize, Taka, that really that's Taka the problem, the biggest damage that the Yavonim did, that they destroyed the Vuah from Klal Yisrael. With their rational, cold minds, the cold Greek logic destroyed the passion of Yidna. Without passion, there's no prophecy. Without passion, there's no prophecy. Without Nevuah, without passion, there's no Nevuah. And that's so the Deiris Chanukah represent Taka, the rekindling, not Stam of the lights of the Menorah, but the rekindling of our passion and our Varma, burning desire for the Rebbein Shalom. And Zohar comes up as a person who has that as a passion to love the Rebbein Shalom. So he comes close. Each people crave him. Bali Madrega Zohar saying, crave him, Yosem, and Kaladim, and Madregas, and Neviim, Hatahoyim, and Chasidim, Azakim. The people who are obsessed with love of Hashem, they're the closest thing they can come to today to being a pure Navi and a unsullied chassid. A real chassid and a real Navi who is called, who is worthy of the title Oy Havei Hashem, Oy Havei Shemoy. Terms that are repeated constantly in Tehillim, but these people get a great reward because the Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, V'hanchil Oy HaVayesh, V'yitzresem HaMalei. Those who really love me, I give them yesh, I give them 310 lamais in the next world. But I give them yesh, I give them real Yiddishkeit in this world. This Yiddishkeit that's ayin, and this Yiddishkeit that's yesh. Yiddishkeit without Avos Hashem is a habit, is a routine, and it's ayin. It's a gone, it's very little. Very little, because the truth is it has to be adulterated. It's very little. Although we make a lot out of it. On the one hand, look, we talk to regular people, we make a lie out of it. We come to Shul, the Orthodox, the Shalom Shabbos. But in the scheme of people who learn Chavos Levavos, in the real world, in the real emissary world of Jewish Torah values, it's very, very little. It's very little. The only thing that presses the Rebbeinu is Oyhavai, those who love him. It's not Avodim, it's the Oyhavim, it's the Bonim, it's the Oyhavim of the Rebbeinu, which is even higher than Bonim. Avodim, people who serve the Rebbeinu without any passion or interest or just robotically, it's Avdei Hashem. Halu Avdei Hashem, it's also something in the Eved, but even that's not Eved. Because an Eved is again, even those people who serve Hashem routinely, without much Ava, even they're still not Avdei Hashem. Because Eved Hashem still puts his master's needs before his own. So even being an Eved Hashem, that you're serving without Ava, but you're still not an Eved Hashem if you put yourself first. And like the Ibn Ezra's brother writes, in Achas l'koinecha, the rabbis l'ritzoinecha, v'echitam avaynecha. If rabbis l'ritzoinecha, do one thing for the master and many things for yourself. How are you going to get rid of your Averis? So even the Eved Hashem were not. That's not so pashut. Just because we do come and daven and just because we do put on tefillin and put on tzitzit, it still doesn't make us Avdei Hashem. The Eved Hashem is still dedicated to the master, and out of fear, he serves the master, but the master comes first, and he thinks about the master all the time. So even our robotic service is not even that much. It's not even an Eved. Our robotic service is mamish mitzvahs anoshim alamada. It's mamish a habit. It's very, very empty, and it doesn't even qualify for Eved status. Even the Eved is truly trembling before the master, and has a sense of absolute responsibility, and the master comes first, and he never stops thinking about the master. But he's not motivated by love. He's not motivated by love for the master. He's not motivated by adoration. He's not motivated by the light of the master. He's motivated by the power of the master. Or perhaps by the rewards that the master will give him. But the Eved thinks about the master all the time. The Eved is bottle for the master. And the master always comes first. And he doesn't betray the master. He doesn't do stuff for himself all day and just throw the master a bone every now and then. He's at the master's beck and call day and night. So we're not even on that madrega of Avdei Hashem. Certainly not Oyevei Hashem. But it's good to know that if you want to get the yesh, if you want to get some value out of this life, and you only get one chance, we don't want to come back in the Gilgal. So lahanchil oyev ayesh v'etzusem amalei, the only ones who get full treasuries and who get yesh, get real rewards from the Rebbein Shlom of those who are oyavei Hashem. The oyavov kitzeis Hashem es b'kvurasin oyavei Hashem, those are the only ones. So he says, my friend, if you want to be in this very unique group, if you want to be part of this elite club of oyavei Hashem, very small group, and you want to be part of them, what's the membership fees? You can look at it two ways. It's very expensive. On the other hand, it's very inexpensive. The only way to join this club of Oyevei Hashem, this special, unique group, is You have to just run away and abandon all the extra frills of Olam Hazeh. Extra frills, again, doesn't mean the big fancy things and mamash what we think. It doesn't mean having a helicopter. It doesn't mean you have to give up much more than giving up a helicopter, giving up a fancy car and a fancy house. I mean, just every day, what are we thinking about? You eat breakfast fast, read it slow. You have to have breakfast with the radio on and the newspaper, and then make sure that everything is, the toast is just right. And if the toast doesn't come out the first time right, make sure you put it in the second time. But the mice, you wait a minute and a half, toasting it the second time was just crispy, crunchy, right. So the mice, a minute and a half, you could have done something else with their Rabbi Shlomo at that time. What are you wasting a minute and a half crispy, crunchy the toast? That's such a big luxury. And the guy would laugh in your face, you're crazy, what are you, nuts? What's the difference? If you're crispy, crunchy, or it's a little bit the half-baked the toast. But the Rebbe Hashem has no time to think about making the toast just right, and making the cereal just right, and making the pancakes just right, and making sure everything is just right. So it's pasta shvem. He has no time for these things. So I was in a restaurant a while ago. I seldom go to restaurants. So I was in a restaurant talking. I ordered some fish, and the waiter comes back, and he says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Made you the wrong fish. It made a totally different thing. Well, that's not what I ordered. It's a totally different. I ordered one thing. You brought me something totally different." The guy, he says, "Okay, we'll make it over for you." I said, "You're crazy. This is food and that. I'm going to go." And, yeah, but you ordered this. And it's expensive. I just ordered something on the menu. I want the fish. Taco, it's very nice. But I'm going to explain it to the guy. But I'm not going to explain it to the fish. I'm going to explain it to myself. I'm going to sit and wait another 20 minutes till he finishes, makes a new fish for me. Azab al-taiva, I have to have the perfect fish, and the right fish made exactly to my specifications, that'd be perfect, with the right seasonings, the right dressing. But the Shalom is bad enough, I ordered the fish in the first place in this restaurant. I should go and wait another 20 minutes to have the perfect fillet of sole fish, whatever is sole, lemon, marinated, and now the gift, the zach. It's bad enough, I ordered it in the first place, I'd eat something. I was in the home, so I had to get in a restaurant someplace, but to go away another 20 minutes to have the perfect fish, I was embarrassed for myself, for the Rebbe, for the Goy, I feel it. I don't understand, we'll do it to you, we go with you, you're paying good money. It's okay, it's fine, it just right, came at 50, Mama, 10 times it came back, you sure now? Maybe he wanted a good tip, I don't know. But are you sure? He was really, really deeply concerned that maybe I didn't like the fish, because it wasn't what I ordered, Mama put something else. It's fine. Can't get an orangutan on the Hazza to have the right fish and the perfect fish and the perfect everything in life. So if you want to join this club of Ayyavi Hashem, you have to abandon all the maestros of Olam Hazza, all the extra stuff, but not necessary. You have to stick to basics. And upshot, you have to abandon it. You have to haseach daitchamehem. You can't say, well, I don't eat that stuff anymore. But every time I pass by the window and I look at it, I say, that's delicious. No. You can't even think about it anymore. You have to get it out of your head. Not to say I'm not going to the restaurant anymore, this fancy restaurant, which only has items that every entree is at least $35. And I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not going to say, well, I used to go to such a restaurant. Oh, that was geschmack. Those were the days. No, you have to get out of your head and gone. This is not for me. If you would ask me to go today to the mall, for $1 million I would go to the mall today. If you would ask me to go to the mall, someone tell us how lucky is this mall in Muncie, so he can his family out to the mall. Great. I wouldn't send my family to the mall. It was the last place in the world. You're mauling them. M-A-U-L, that's what it's called. A mall. All the Yiddishkeit, everything. It's going to go right down the train when they go to the Plaza Mall. If you give me $1 million, I tell you, I wouldn't go to the mall today. I wouldn't want to go to the mall anytime. I hate malls. Some of you love the malls. But I think I have some kindred spirits over here. Imagine going to malls. Who would want to go to a mall? Who would want to sit in the field of the Goyishkeit and the Preetzes and the Santas, especially this time of year? I go Meshuggah with the window watching. Rabbi, you say, I'm not going to get all this stuff. But I like the window washer shopping. I like window shopping. Nay, he says, because of others. You want to join this elite group of Goyav Hashem, Eidel Mahazeh, this is the last place you want to be is the mall. The last thing you want to do is flip through the Spiegel catalog and the Neiman Marcus catalog, which just got in the mail and was down with the big Santa in front. You don't even want to look at these catalogs. Not just interesting. It's not interesting. It's driving me crazy. Who wants to know for this Irish guy? Who has time for these things? Maybe if you give me the new Feldman catalog, a new Swarm, maybe that's good. Yeah. But don't give me this Neiman Marcus catalog. No, I don't even look at the stuff. These people, I'm a Siach Das from Olam Hazeh. And get yourself used to living without Olam Hazeh, without the luxuries. Take the bare minimum. And don't work so hard. Take me making yourself this tircha that you made up your mind, you have to have certain things. We have a certain lifestyle, we made up our mind. This is how it's gotta be, and it's so hard to make the money for the lifestyle. Make life easy for yourself. Don't think about Shriya so much. Don't even think. The first thing is don't think about it. If you're going to think about it, and you're still going to get all the catalogs, and all the brochures, and all the things online, and you'll look at it, you say, I never buy this kind of stuff. But it's interesting to look at. Don't even look at it. Don't even look at the magazines. Get it out of your heart. And say, I want to get the minimum from this world so I can maximize my neshama, maximize my avos Hashem. And when he said, when you do take olam hazeh, when you do eat already your toast, he says, be like a person, the doctor forces you, gotta take this medicine, it's a bitter pill, you have a bitter medicine over there, you can't get as much anymore, there's no bitter medicine, everything is sweet. But imagine the doctor says, you gotta take nebuch, a bitter medicine, there are a couple of them that attack a very bitter, anytime you're eating breakfast already, eating breakfast, you're supposed to think, oh, this is like I'm drinking a bitter drink, and I just take it down as quickly as I can, and not that I want to do it, and I really would rather not be doing this, I'd rather be davening or learning or doing tzedakah, doing a mitzvah, and I'm a kabbal, the mariris of a nebuch, eating breakfast and lunch, because I gotta be healthy, so I'm gonna take myself healthy, and I will eat breakfast, I will eat pashachris, I will eat lunch, I will eat supper, not that I'm looking forward to it. My day doesn't revolve around my three meals, I can't wait for supper to come, I can't wait for lunch, I can't wait for breakfast, you're leaving shul, the first thing I can't wait to eat my breakfast. I'm looking forward to a geschmack, a nice fresh bagel. It's Sunday morning, and I have my bagels and lox. I got bother go to learn the shiur afterwards. I bother go to my dafyomi afterwards. I bother go to learn the rest of the morning. But I can't wait for breakfast. Even that can't be, he says. Breakfast is just like taking a bitter pill. No, of course, you'll say, this is exaggerated, Rabbi. I understand. Well, that's then you shouldn't be the Chavos Avashir. Chavos Avashir is for people who are looking for to open up new horizons. And this is the end of the whole Sefer, by the way. We're holding Mamish with end. We're about to make a Siyum. I just will advise to make it next week. What time is it?
Quarter after nine.
So, Bekitzer, he says, you should know one thing, remember one thing. So, he says, there's two things. There's the earning of Olam Hazeh, there's production and there's consumption. There's two levels of Olam Hazeh. There's production and consumption. Now, consumption, he just said, we are, as consumers, he says, we do the consumption of Olam Hazeh, we do it very reluctantly. And we take the minimum, and even the minimum we take, he says, we do it like you're taking a bitter pill. And of course, we all understand that, Ichalish by them, I have no shachas to all this, I enjoy my toast at breakfast. But it's good to know, I must say, I enjoy it less since I learned from the Bavas. That much I can be made. I still have my toast, I still butter it. But maybe a little bit less. I enjoy it less. And if I enjoy it a little bit less, and you enjoy it a little bit less, then we have a shaykhus. That's good. That's worthwhile the whole shir. Because who's holding by this? But it's good to know it exists. And this is okay. It is not called asceticism. This is not called fanaticism. This is avos Hashem. So the first thing, consumption, he said, consumption. We minimize consumption, and even the little bit we take is done in a very, in a way that we feel that we're forced to it, and we'd rather be serving Hashem. We're eating with doing Hashem Shemayim, giving energy to serve Hashem, I'll think, but that's what we have in mind. My main interest of you is not to have a geshmaka breakfast. And then he said, productivity, the production of Olam Hazeh, he says, you should know that you're thinking about your panasa is not moisif amashu on your panasa. When it comes to making the productivity, that's where you really, doctor, should have no thoughts about it. Olam Hazeh, the productivity, you gotta do something, you have to have a little shtadlus, but the shtadlus is not a great mitzvah deraisa, it's a minimum. And you're supposed to try not be torrid, to be as little mentally and emotionally involved in the production of pranasa as possible. And the more you get involved with more thinking about it, the more new ideas and more involvement, it does not add to your pranasa amount. You think it does, but it really doesn't. It does not. And with that, I will just tell you the word of the Heilige Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel says such a great word, the Gemara says in Kedushin, that a father owes a son five things, five mitzvahs of the father to a son, a bris, and a pidyon ben, and to teach him Torah, and to get him married off, and lalam de umnes, teach him a profession, teach him a parnasa. You owe five things to your son, to your children, to your son. Bris, pidyon ben if necessary, appropriate, learning Torah, getting married, and a parnasa. Then the Gemara adds a sixth thing. The Gemara says the sixth thing is, afloi shita b'mayim, and also you teach him how to swim. So in fact, the Shem Yishmuel, the Shachar 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 Rebbe, The first five are pretty obvious, self-explanatory. The sixth one, teach a person how to swim. Now, it's very important that I swim. I'm a big swimmer. Very nice. But that's just one life-saving technique. I mean, why is it how to swim? They could say, teach them judo. It's very important to have judo today. You know, you walk in the street, you might have to know a little judo. You should know a CPR. You should know the Heimlich maneuver. You should know a lot of things. There's a lot of things for survival you should know. So the Gemara is saying that you should know survival courses. Let's have the Gemara choose of everything, you should not swim. There's a lot of other things you should know if we're talking about survival. Take a first aid course and teach your son how to swim. So the Heilig Hashem Shmuel says such a great savor. He says that statement, the Gemara, Afla Yishit V'mayim, also to teach him how to swim, is not a separate statement from the original five. It is a continuation. The fifth of the obligations of a son to his father was that you should teach your son a parnasa. You should teach him how to make a living. You shouldn't become a thief and a robber when he gets older. You have to teach him a living. Of course, the best living you teach your son is teach him how to be Talmud Chacham, who can teach Torah to others. That's the best thing you teach your son. That's the best business. No one's been laid off lately, and I've not seen anybody get laid off. I hear Bayam sometimes quit, but I haven't even laid off for Bayam. A lot of people get laid off in Nebuch in the computer fields, accounting fields, and electronic fields, and the high-tech fields. But Tayyar Baruch Hashem, Lakewood hasn't laid off anybody. As a matter of fact, they're paying on time. Believe it or not, Lakewood Yeshiva Dafka got on time lately. So everyone's getting pink slips that have to get their jobs. And Lakewood is paying on time, Baruch Hashem. So Tayyar is the best as far. But if your son's not cut out for that, so then you teach him something else. Teach him another umna. Teach him whatever it is that's good, suitable for him, that's good that he'll enjoy and is comfortable and good for your son. But teach him how to swim. Teach him the parnasa in a way that he'll know that parnasa is like swimming. And just like when you swim, you got to put your hands and feet in the water, and you got to kick vigorously, and you got to make strokes with your arms very, very vigorously, and you got to swim, mommy. You got very vigorous than the American crawl or Australian crawl, the backstroke, the side stroke. You got mamish, kick your feet and put your hands in. But don't leave your head underwater. Because if you leave your head underwater, you know what happens? You drown. So the secret of swimming is to get your body in the water and vigorously, but you keep your head above the water. You stick it in a little bit for a second, just to streamline things, but then you pick it up. If you don't pick it up, you will drown, chas v'shalom. That's how you have to teach your son to get involved in parnasa and mohaza. Yes, he has to make a shtadlus, he has to make some good strokes with his hands, stroke, you gotta walk a little bit, you gotta move a little bit, but the head is above water, your head is still thinking about higher things, and you know that we don't make a living, we take a living. The living is for the Rebbeinu Shlom. We have to take it. So you have to do a little shtadlus to take it, but minimum shtadlus to take it, and that's with your hands and with your feet, but your head is primarily still absorbed in love of Hashem and the reason why Hashem created you. Hashem did not create you for parnasa. Hashem created Yidden Amzu Yatzarti Li Tilasi Yisad Peru. Hashem created us to say over his Shevach Vaido. You did your race on the Etra today. We were Mekayim it by saying Hallel today and by learning this year right now and by davening and by learning further today. That's why Hashem created us to learn Torah and to speak his praises and to do mitzvahs in his glory. And the parnasa is just taking a living. We don't make a living. We take a living, and we do minimum to take the living, but we make ruchnias. We make ruchnias, we make parnasa, we take, and there the Chavos reminds us, don't let you do the parnasa, p'shteshtavlas, you produce, but not with your head and your heart. Keep your head and heart free of tirdas alam haza, and let your mind be, the more you concentrate on Hashem, then Hashem, the less you make, the less you think, if you think you make it, Hashem says, Gesundheit, hey, make your living. Go, make calls, go run around, go crazy. But if you know that I make it, and you just take it, so I'll make it for you. And you just pick up the check. But if you think you make it, then you have no time to learn, you have no time to dive the minions. I'm so busy making a living. Okay, you think you make a living, make the living, and you'll have no time to learn, and have no time to daven, and have no time to miss it. But if you know that I make it, and you just take it, it doesn't take much to pick up the check. You have to open your mailbox, it's true, no question, check, if you're really lucky, someone will bring it to you, they'll bring it to you, there's no question about that, will happen too. And so many times it comes to a zach, that, you know, that comes running after you. So if you know that, says the Chavos above, your head will be totally involved in the Avos Hashem, and you'll not be obsessed with everything else, and you'll be zeichet to be an oyev Hashem. I think my buddy said next week,